Last time I shared with you was over the other side. I still remember I shared about four blood moons, right? I'd like briefly bring you up to date what's going on since then. Okay, many things happened. So let's turn to the scripture first. The first scripture I'm going to read with you is Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And we'll read 12 and 13, okay? I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of a goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell on earth to earth, and laid fig drop from the fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Okay. The reason I quote this scripture is because I want to show that the sign in the sky as an indicator God gave us to be a sign. If you recall, the first chapter of Genesis, chapter 14, mentioned about these heavenly bodies. In chapter 14, chapter 1, Genesis, you will see a very familiar verse. Verse 14, chapter 1. Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark season and days and years. So in this verse, God told us the function of the heavenly body, whether it's a sun or a moon or stars. On one hand, it gives us the time. On the other hand, it's also a sign. So that's the reason. If you read the Old Testament or the New Testament, you will see those prophets will tell us these heavenly bodies, when they gave us something very unusual, then it's a sign to the people on earth to watch something important is going to happen. Use one simple example. When Jesus was born, any heavenly bodies at that time? There was a star, right? Appeared. So the sage from the east, they followed that star. They found Jesus. So that's the simple example, talking about these heavenly bodies, not only tell us time, but also serve a signal God tried to convey to us through these signs. So here in Revelation 6, God used these signals, such as the eclipse of the sun and the blood moon in the sky, and also mentioned the stars will fall like a fig blown under the wind. I don't know how many of you have watched last Friday, because today is Sunday, right? Friday. If you read this newspaper, USA Today, I mean this one, front page, Friday's version, they talk about sky spectacle. How many have seen this newspaper? So don't, but anyway, there are two pages talk about spectacles. Friday midnight all the way to Saturday morning, okay? 6 hours. In the sky, there are big meteorites fall from the sky. And it mentioned it is, this year is first time also the largest. But most of us were sleepy, so we didn't really pay any attention. But since 2014-15, those 2 years, we saw four blood moons. How many of us observed those blood moons? One, two, three, only three, four. Four people, all the rest never pay attention. And then how about this year, August, you have the America sun eclipse. How many watch that? A little bit more, okay? But many still don't care. But I think you should be watchful, because these are the signs God has put on the sky. Everyone can see, so we should see it. It's very important. It's all relate to very important events on Earth. From August 21st, the American sun eclipse, until now, have you observed anything unusual in large scale? Some happen in the United States. About 1 week after the sun eclipse, you will see great hurricane in the south, Harvey, Irma, so on and so forth, four, all in record number, very, very destructive. Florida, you have hurricane destroy the building and flood. Also in Texas, you see also big flood in Houston. And we watch on the television, you will see that. And since then, big earthquake in Mexico, big earthquake in Iraq and Iran border. And then you will see how many terrible killings in New York, in Las Vegas, in Texas, right? A church in a Sunday morning. They came together, worshiped the Lord, and suddenly 26 people were killed and 20 people were injured. Things like that don't happen every day. But nowadays, seems every day you will hear this kind of disaster around the globe. So all these things remind us, the Bible says, watch out, the day of the Lord is near. That's the key point. So all what I'm trying to mention this with one single purpose. We are in a very critical time. This is I want to bring to your attention. We are not in a regular days. We are in a very critical moment in terms of God's action on earth. There will be many, many things you never expect it will happen. It will happen. So that's the sort of up to date since last time I shared the message with you. Things are changed very, very quickly. Today my theme to share with you is what is the most important issue for a young person. Because I know most of us here are young people. And so when I pray about coming to this meeting to share the word of God with you, somehow this feed a burden in my heart. I like to share three kings in the Bible. They talk about the most important thing in their life. So I think it will be a good encouragement for all of us nowadays, when the whole world is going crazy, how about us Christians? What should we do? What is the most important things in our lives? That's the things I want to bring to your attention. First, today I will share three kings. First, King Jesus, okay? Second, King Solomon. Third, King David. I use those three kings when they talk about the essential thing for a young man. What should we focus? What is, they give us a lot of secret of life. I think our song leader just opened with the first song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. That's an excellent song. We all know how to sing that song, but when you sing it, do you sense, who said that scripture? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's Jesus, right? In the Mount Sermon, chapter 6, Matthew, verse 33. When Jesus said that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, simply means in our life, we have so many issues in our daily lives. But Jesus mentioned, there's nothing more important than see his kingdom and his righteousness. Remember in same Matthew chapter 19. Remember Jesus mentioned a young man came to Jesus, asked him a question. Remember that question? How can a man get the eternal life? Let's turn to if you have a Bible, let's turn to that chapter. Chapter 19. Verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which one? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. And Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I think most of us know this paragraph, this story. So I use this young man as an example, talking about what is important in his life. He asked the right question. He said, what should I do to get eternal life? I think most of us will think about, you know, especially for this young man, he was rich man, right? And the rich man, when you have money, what else you want? Long life. right? When you have wealth, you wish you can live forever. then you can enjoy all the wealth you have, you possess. That's what everyone's wish. That's the dream. That's why he came to Jesus. What should I do to have eternal life? But Jesus said, well, if you want eternal life, do God's command. He said, oh, since I was a boy, I already did all those commandments. What else should I do? He is a very nice young man. But Jesus said, okay, if you want really do good, then sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. That answer really turns him off. He said, no way, that's too much. You know, if you ask me to do something else, maybe I will do. But if you want me to get rid of all my wealth, give it to the poor, no, I have nothing, right? So he left Jesus sadly. So you will see, this is not only his problem, it's also us problem. Maybe not everyone here are rich people, but we all have some possessions. At least you have some clothing and some money in your pocket. But the point is, for this young man, Bible mentioned that he is a rich man. His heart is preoccupied by his wealth. That's why when Jesus said, give that to the poor and then follow me, that becomes his impossible. That's totally far beyond his ability to do it. I think for most of us, if you are poor, you can do it. You give everything away because I have nothing. But when you have if you like a Bill Gates, you are so rich, you say, I throw all my wealth away, give it to the poor, and then follow Jesus. That's too much. You ask too much. So this basically become mission impossible. But Jesus gave a very analogy. He said, for a camel go through the needle's eye is easier than the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. What does it mean? Needle, the eye of the needle. It doesn't mean the needle you use to sew your clothing. The eye of the needle is talking about, for the Jewish people, they know, talking about the small gate by the city gate. You know, in the old days, if you live within a city, there is a wall around the city, and you have gates so people can go in and out. And usually the major gate, the big gate, will open during the daytime. But by the evening, the major gates will be shut for security reason and keep the small gate open so people can get in and out from that little gate. That little gate, for the Jewish people, call that eye of the needle. Okay? That's what Jesus is referring to. For a camel, a big camel, to go through that little gate is pretty challenging. There is a possibility for the camel to go through that little gate. The one criteria, you have to lay down everything, because when people use camel, it's usually carry the cargo. So on the animal's back, a lot of things, maybe clothing or food, whatever, on the camel's back. So you want to go through the gate, you have to take out, unload everything on your back so that only the camel itself can squeeze through that little gate called the needle, the eye of the needle. So that's the example Jesus tried to describe to anyone, try to have this heart for seek ye the first, the kingdom of God. You want to get the eternal life, enter God's kingdom, yes, you can do, but you have to lay off all your burden, like the camel or this young man. You know, this young man, he wants to go into the heaven or enter into the kingdom of God, but he cannot let go. He has a lot of cargo, burden carried by him, and he cannot forsake those burdens. The wealth for him is the largest burden. You say, if you can lay that off and follow me, you can get it. So that's the meaning of seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's not just a song. It's not just a one statement. It is action. It is an action. So the most important thing for a young man to do in Jesus' eyes is seek his kingdom. Pay all the any price. For him to pay, the price is too high, because Jesus said, sell everything, give it to the poor. To him, that's impossible. So you will see in his scale, on one hand is the eternal life. On the other hand is all his money. Which side is heavier? Which side is more important? To him, the money is more important than everything else. That's why he missed the eternal life. He missed the kingdom of God, because the cost for this young man is too high to bear or to pay. So brothers and sisters, I think in our lifetime, we all has a desire to look for something eternal. Eternal life is something when you go through this current life, still can carry you to the eternity. That's most important thing. He asked the right question. I think most of us also have desire to share something can pass through the time. You know, lately we have two sisters. One is a little bit older than 50s. The other one is almost 90. They all pass away. Whether you are old or whether you are young, one day we will leave this earth. Our life is very short. What will bring you to eternity once you pass the current life? So that's the test. So this man, he wants to have eternal life, but how to get it? You have to put your priority right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means God's kingdom is forever. God's kingdom deserves you lay down everything in order to get that. If you have all these luggages on your heart or on your back, it can be your money, it can be your career, it can be your family. To different people can be different things. But these things occupy your heart. It becomes the priority in your life. Then that hinder you enter into the kingdom of God. Then when you lost your life, what else you can exchange for your life? So this is what Jesus is teaching us. So I want you to pay attention. And the second king is the Solomon, King Solomon. I think we all know Solomon, according to the Bible, he was the most wise man ever exist. God gave him the wisdom surpass anybody, because he asked for it. You know, one night God asked him, what do you want? And he didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for a long life. He didn't ask to defeat his enemy. He just asked for wisdom. So that really pleased God. God gave him the wisdom plus everything else he didn't ask for. So he really demonstrated what a wise man can do in his life. But unfortunately, his later part, when he get older, he married too many women, too many concubines. His life gets ruined by those idols brought in by those married to a wrong woman. So that really make him a fool later days. But at least in his early stage of life, he was right. He asked the best thing a man can get from God, wisdom and understanding. So God grant him wisdom and spiritual understanding. But he said in Proverbs chapter 8, let's read it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Did you get it? I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. You know, this me personified. If you read the whole text of this chapter 8, you will see he referred to the wisdom. It's personified wisdom. So he said, I love those who love me. That means wisdom is talking. If you love me, I love you. Those who diligently seek me, seek wisdom, will find me wisdom. Okay? So this personified person is talking about wisdom. But in reality, if you read the whole chapter, you will see this wisdom is one person. It's not something, it's someone. This someone is nothing but Jesus Christ. He was the one star right in the beginning before everything else. He was there. He created everything. So this Jesus is this personified wisdom. So here, Solomon said, those who diligently seek me will find me. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, seek the Lord. Seek him with all your heart. If you have this conviction, seek after him. He said, you will seek and ye shall find. You will find him. You just need this focus, you know. Just like you chase a girlfriend, you have to, in order to be successful, to find the right girl for your life, you cannot just go this today and tomorrow go with the other, day one, day two, change all the time. Forget it. You have no hope to find your future wife. You have to find the one, stick with her all the way. That's the attitude you need to seek for the wisdom. Seek for the Lord. You have to stick with this conviction. So this is this King Solomon tried to tell us. And he has a miserable old life. So he wrote a book called, how do you read that? Ecclesiastes, right? In that book, chapter 12, by the ending, he tell all of us. Verse 1 and 2. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. In other words, this later day means his older age. Many of us here also, oh, I'm 71 years old, it's not young anymore. Backache, or, you know, gout, high blood pressure, all these things all coming with your senior age. So Solomon said, don't wait until that time. When you are early, remember your Lord. Seek after him. So that's the old Solomon. He encouraged young people, you know, The Chinese translation is very interesting, a little bit different from the English version. Let me read the Chinese version. 你趁着年幼衰败的日子尚未来到，跳过去，下面说当纪念造你的主。 So, but the unfortunate part usually is when you are young, you don't care. You know, I'm full of energy, I have strong strength, I can do whatever I want. True, you can do many things with your youth. So time is nothing, you know, I can do this, do that, okay, I can even waste my time. I don't care because I'm young. But actually, time passed very, very fast. Before you know it, you already reach mid-age. Before you even blink, you suddenly find you are a senior citizen. Right, Xibei? Agree? We think we are still young, but actually we are young no more. Time flies very quickly. That's why when Solomon found that out, he has a good beginning. He has a wonderful beginning. But his later year was a disaster. And later on, his kingdom divided. Yeah, actually his life story is a tragedy. His tragedy. That's why his book is very full of inspiration. Through failure, he will tell you, young man, avoid it. Don't do the same mistake what I did. That's Solomon's heart. So I think, by the time he wrote this book, he has many, many things he wish he would never do. But he wish all the young people, you will do it right, and you will not regret it all the way. Follow the wisdom. Lastly, I have a third king to share. That's his father, King David. Okay, King David, his life is very positive, although he has his problem, but he overcome. He has recovered from his failure. God finally said, you are man of after my heart. What's his secret? What's his father's secret in his whole life? He was not a perfect man. There was no perfect man. But he did something right. God received him. God testified for him. You are a man of my heart. I will share two of his psalms with you. First, Psalm 14, verse 2. Psalm 14, verse 2. He said, the Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. In other words, he understands one secret thing in God's heart. God created all of us, but he didn't say just create it and leave you and I alone and do whatever you want. No. He's watching. He watched from above. Look at every person he created. He loved us. What he's seeking for in us? He said, he wants to see if there's any who understand. You know, God has his will. Anyone understand my will? So he's watching. Number two, anyone is seek after him. You know, we seek after wealth. We seek after career. We seek a beautiful lover. That's what the earthly people, we all looking for these earthly things. But here, David said, no. God is looking. Anyone's looking for him. Although he's invisible, but he's there. And you should search for him. Seek after him. That's the secret. So based on this understanding, he wrote another song, Psalm 27. Because he knows in his heart that God is looking for people. Okay? So in this psalm, he responds to God. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. That's his response. All my life, I have many, many things, but to me, only one thing is important. That one thing is to dwell in the house of the Lord and to inquire of him. So I like to leave these three kings teaching concerning our lives. You know, our lives is not long. It's very short. But whether we really understand God's heart and we will do according to his desire, he wants us to search something eternal. Search, that's his kingdom. Search, that's himself. He is everything we need. And we look for him, we dwell in his house forever and inquire about him, understand him. That's the most blessed life. Are you willing to receive that life from the Lord? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are so grateful you gave us a life. Some may be a little bit longer, some may be a little bit shorter, but whether it's long or short, the key is the same, that you want us to seek after you. You are our eternal life. You will give us the secret to the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us to overcome the problem of that young man, which you meet, you talk to him, and he met you but still missed you. He asked you the right question but still cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Lord, we don't want to be like that young man. Use him as an example to tell us that we should lay down all our lives, all our heavy burdens, to seek after you wholeheartedly. May you help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.